of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Hartley Carnes. On the Middle Eastern troubles, President Bush is sending Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice back to the region to try again.
Our goal is a Chapter 7 resolution setting out a clear framework for cessation of hostilities on an urgent basis and mandating the multinational force.
The Israeli army says it has killed 26 Hezbollah fighters in southern Lebanon in today's battling. CBS's David Martin.
Israel still has a long way to go to get all of Hezbollah's leaders, all of Hezbollah's fighters, and all of Hezbollah's rockets. It's very clear, at least it's U.S. intelligence assessment, that Israel badly underestimated Hezbollah's strength.
I'm Robert Berger in the hard-hit Israeli border town of Kiryat Shmona. I'm at a house that was hit by a Hezbollah rocket today, one of 200 buildings that have been damaged here. The streets are empty and it's dead quiet. Most of the 24,000 residents have left for safer ground.
UN officials are asking for a 72-hour ceasefire to allow humanitarian aid. Word out of prosecutors' offices in Connecticut, a former priest in Darien allegedly spent $1.4 million of the church's money to lead a life of luxury with another man. The latest CBS News New York Times poll shows you probably want to see the minimum wage raised to $7.25 an hour.
3 out of 4 Republicans would like to see the minimum wage go up, as would 94% of Democrats and 84% of Independents.
That's CBS News Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic. Tour de France winner Floyd Landis says he didn't pump up. Honest says his testosterone levels are naturally just very high. The documents are frozen for now by a federal appeals court in Washington. CBS's Beverly Lumpkin says these are documents taken from a Louisiana congressman's office, part of a corruption investigation.
An appeals court has dealt a blow to the Justice Department in the continuing controversy over documents seized by the FBI from Congressman William Jefferson's office. The court has ordered the copies of all the seized records be made available to the congressman so he can determine which are, quote, legislative in nature. The lower court judge will then review the designated materials and decide whether he agrees. For now, the investigation will continue to be on hold.
Ever get tired of the Jehovah's Witnesses coming around? A woman in London had a sign on her front porch which said, "Our dogs are fed on Jehovah's Witnesses," and not very many of them knocked on her door. But police made her take the sign down. The woman's dog, by the way, is a really scary Jack Terrier puppy named Rabbit. Sign had been there 30 years, and then someone complained. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 119 points. Nasdaq picked up nearly 40. Oil prices, $73.24 a barrel, down $1.30. This is CBS News.
So let's say you go shopping, and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs, too. Well, you think, that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
CompUSA Email Bank.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
The lead prosecutor in the Duke University rape allegations has finally found the mute button.
Once a fixture in front of cameras when the case broke, Durham County DA Mike Nifong now says it was a mistake to talk so openly about the allegations against three Duke University lacrosse players.
I both underestimated the level of media attention this case would draw and misjudged the effect that my words would have.
As for the criticism of his response to the media coverage, Nifong says some of it is justified.
Could I have done things differently? Certainly I could have. Would it have made a difference? I can't say.
Nifong says it wasn't his intent to try the case in the court of public opinion, another frequent criticism thrown at him. Chris Miller for CBS News, Charlotte.
In Tirana, Albania, the beaches are families only. Then along came 30 Scandinavian women, an eye-popping band of tourists who did what was natural back home. Off came the tops. Albanian mothers dragged their kids off the beach. Police said they couldn't do much. The tourists didn't speak Albanian. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way. The answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
CompUSA email bag.
Steve emails, Dear CompUSA, got any killer back-to-school deals? Steve, we've got hundreds of killer deals, including $300 off a Toshiba laptop with Intel Core Duo processor and Microsoft Media Center Edition. $300 off! That puts it under $700 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. This and other great deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA's back-to-school sale. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
Oh, that's me.
God, it's Friday!
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
Yeah, thank God it's Friday. I think that's the only prayer that we'll offer on the program today. I'm Peter B. Collins, and welcome to the show they named after me. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. 3 hours of live, unrehearsed, unscripted progressive talk. And you're invited to join the conversation whenever the urge moves you, and as long as the First Amendment is in full effect. We have a new toll-free number. Have you captured it yet? 888-5-PETER-B. How simple could we make it? 888-5-PETER-B is my new number. On our program today, we've got a novelist with a powerful new book based on the No Child Left Behind legislation, the centerpiece of our what kind of president is he? I know he talks with his mouth full. John McNally will join us in a moment. Congressman Sam Farr with us in about half an hour. He's the Democrat from the Central Coast who's had the courage to introduce a House resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Also on our program, an update on the developments in the last 24 hours in the conflict in the Middle East. Chris Tonson will join us from the Middle East Report. And we're going to get a report on what it's like to be a guest on Bill O'Reilly's O'Reilly Factor on the Fox News channel. Peter Lauffer survived last night, and he wasn't even wearing a Kevlar vest. And O'Reilly did not try to cut his mic. Also on the show today, in response to an unasked question from Ben and Salinas, we're going to talk about the bird flu, avian flu, and also mad cow disease with an epidemiologist from the University of Washington. Professor Anne Marie Kimball will be joining us in our second hour today. Then we're going to take on the update in the contested election in California's District 50 in San Diego, where Brian Bilbray was named the winner, but a host of questions have been raised by our friend Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. He's on the road today, but Mimi Kennedy, one of the chairs of the Progressive Democrats of America, will be joining to talk about the latest developments in the challenge to that special election that was held on primary day in June this year. That's all ahead this afternoon, along with your calls. Whenever the urge hits you, call me, 888-5-PETER-B. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And today's the last day for you to drop me an email if you want to win that case of wine in our first anniversary giveaway. We'll have the details coming up a little bit later on. But joining me now is John McNally, who teaches at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. He wrote the novel, The Book of Ralph, that got wide acclaim, and his new novel is called America's Report Card. John McNally, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show, Peter.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I have to say that it was the dedication in your book that caused me to invite you on the show. It's no slight to you, but we generally don't talk to novelists here. We're in the reality zone, not Fear Factor or Survivor, but we talk what's actually going on in the world. And so it is rare that I invite novelists on the program, but it was the dedication that just cinched it for me. Tell us why you dedicated your book in an insulting way to the blonde bimbo Ann Coulter.
Well, I call her in the dedication page America's Iago, and she just represents to me just a number of problems that I think have plagued this country in the past several years. I mean, my idea of Ann Coulter is that 20 years ago she would have been running her own cable access TV show out of her parents' basement, and everybody would have acknowledged her for what she is, which is just, you know, a divisive, not particularly bright person, you know, mm-hmm. some kind of a crackpot.
Maybe a harpy?
Yeah, yeah. And today she's what passes for intellectual discourse, and I just find that incredibly disturbing. And as I was writing the book, it's set in 2004 to the lead up to the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
She just ended up taking on kind of a larger metaphorical resonance for me of what, you know, what plagues this country right
oh,
now.
Oh, indeed. Well, she was on Chris Matthews last night, and I counseled my listeners to boycott that, but it was on my TiVo box, and so I snuck a peek. And it was interesting because, number one, they were outdoors and she was showing as much skin as she could. She really is interesting in the way she comes off as a sex bomb who is, you know, pro-life and purports to be, you know, pretty deeply religious. The other side of it was that Matthews was alternately kissing her ass and trying to bait her with quotes from her own book. And she was trying to dismiss him, saying, "Are you just going to talk about the words that I write? Or can we talk about the ideas?"
Right.
And, you know, he read back the phrase about the harpies aimed at the Jersey girls who lost husbands in the World Trade Center. And as Matthews, continued to press, she then turned to the crowd and said, "Well, you understand it, right?" And her argument was that these women have no claim to being experts about 9/11 or having any stake in investigating the truth about 9/11 because simply their husbands died.
Right.
And she was being absurd, she said, when she raised the question about whether their husbands were all about to divorce the Jersey girls, which is just so bizarre as to, you know, I mean, I as a writer, you wouldn't go in that direction, would you?
No. I mean, the thing that I find really disturbing about her too is that, part of my quote too in the dedication is that I say to America's Iago, Ann Coulter, for rewriting history to suit her own nefarious purposes, and I feel that this is something that she does time and again, which is that, you know, she twists facts, she uses lame source material, and it's all to you know, further her agenda, and her argumentative skills tend to be ad hominem attacks.
Mm-hmm.
For somebody with a, you know, she loves talking about her law degree from Michigan, but, you know, I teach logical fallacies to my freshmen, you know, and she just, and, you know, she's a case study in logical fallacies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you have trouble with standardized tests when you were going to school?
I did horribly on them.
Really?
Yeah. I tended to score, usually mediocre at best on the ACT and things like that.
I tended to outperform my my grades.
Really?
In standardized tests. Yeah, I was lucky that way. Maybe I'm just a good guesser, or I'm really good with a number two pencil.
Yeah.
So you took a job in Iowa City, Iowa.
Right.
Correcting the standardized tests from school districts all over America?
Right. It was part of what's called the Nation's Report Card, which essentially takes large samples and will compare them against other school districts, other regions, other states, and so on. And Iowa City is a great place for a business like that because it's full of PhDs who don't have any work. So
recently minted.
Right. Exactly. They can charge $8 an hour, or they can pay you $8 an hour to take this job with no benefits, and you'd work for a week or two or however long the project would be, and then they'd let you go and then hire you back when there would be another project.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the job with a low opinion of standardized testing and left with a much more cynical and suspicious opinion of the profession as a whole.
Mm-hmm. And in Iowa City, did you have a lot of daytime sex time to the arrival of a fresh pot pie? We're just trying to divine here where the fiction starts.
Yeah. I can't divulge everything.
Well, I just found that very interesting because, you know, everybody has code words for sex. You want to have a party, you want to get naked, you want to, you know, people have their own little shorthand. And in a book that, I'm trying to think of who it was, a famous novelist wrote, and I'm now blocking on her name now that I want to drop it, she used the phrase chow. To describe a certain sexual position. And when I asked her about it in a subsequent interview, she drew a total blank. And she could not, you know, connect her own reference to that term and that position. And I said, well, gosh, it's entered my lexicon, and it's something I'm pretty fond of. So I hope you'll remember this 5 years from now. If, for example, we gave you a standardized test on what you wrote in your novel, America's Report Card.
Right. Well, I'll keep studying it.
John McNally is our guest, and in the promotional materials, he wrote up a little three-question quiz in a multiple-choice form. And I want to open up the phone lines here right now, and we will select a caller or victim, depending on how it goes, and we'll ask you these three questions, and if you can successfully answer them, I will use my number two pencil here to fill in the little circle. And if you're successful, we'll give you my promo copy of America's Report Card, the new novel by John McNally. So if you'd like to take the test, and the questions are about Dick Cheney, Scooter Libby, and a couple of other Republicans, you can get on the line right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Or 888-573-8372. We'll take a quick break and return, find somebody to take the quiz, and talk more with John McNally. Again, his new novel is called America's Report Card. And you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The Monterey County Democrats invite all KRXA listeners to join them this Saturday from noon to 3 at the Democratic Reunion and Voter Registration Drive Kickoff Picnic. The drive and picnic will take place at Natividad Creek Park, 1395 Nogal Drive in Salinas. This is a unique opportunity to meet with your elected leaders, candidates, and special guests in a casual setting while enjoying free food and fun. RSVP to 1-866-679-3367 or browse to www.democrats.org.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Peter B., and as you may know, we just celebrated our first anniversary, starting with KRXA 540 in Monterey last year at this time. We've grown to four great radio stations in four cities in the West, and today's your last chance to drop me an email and enter our first anniversary giveaway. A case of Central Coast wine could be yours, drawn from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. And if you'd like to enter, just drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. I need your name, address, daytime phone, indicate that you're at least 21 so the ABC doesn't send cops after me, and tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show in the past year. One entry per person, please. And if you don't have email, send me an old-fashioned snail mail to P.O. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner coming up on August 1st, which is next week. So get in on the action, and I'd be happy to share some good vino from California with you. We're continuing now with John McNally. He's the author of The Book of Ralph and his new novel, America's Report Card. Quite contemporary, a lot of humor, a lot of very interesting character development. And I'm just a couple of chapters into it, John, and now I'm going to have to read the whole thing.
You've
helped me plan my weekend.
Okay.
Now, we've got a couple of people on the line here. And let's see, we got Cynthia first, and I managed to hang up on her. That was before I hung up on you, John. We're in a brand new studio set up here and still working out some of the kinks in our system. Cynthia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Here's a multiple choice question for you.
Okay.
And it's about the vice president.
Okay.
Dick Cheney, A, failed out of Yale, B, was asked not to return to Yale, C, has had four heart attacks, D, shot a man, or E, all of the above.
All of the above.
Well, Cynthia, you are correct.
I win the book?
Not yet, because we got two other callers on the line.
Oh.
So we're going to see how well
they
do.
I have a little comment. Is the book about Anne Coulter specifically, or...
No, it's not specifically about Anne Coulter, right, John?
No, it's just dedicated.
I have a vision of Anne. If you put her in some retro Ray-Bans and a gray UCLA sweatshirt with a hood, she would probably resemble the composite picture of the 1968 Zodiac Killer that used to be circulated in the San Francisco Chronicle.
You should be a novelist. Thank you for sharing your vivid imagination. Hold on, Cynthia. Now we go to Billy in Capitola. Hi, Billy.
Good afternoon, sir.
Your question is, Scooter Libby's name is Scooter because A, he enjoys scooting, B, it's the name of his first of his wife's first dog, C, it was more appealing a more appealing childhood nickname than Der Fuhrer.
Well, I have to go with that, except I know it's B. Go ahead.
Or D, actually, there's no good reason for the nickname.
I'll go with B.
You're going with B?
Yeah.
All right, is that correct? John, is B correct on the Scooter Libby question?
I believe it's D, actually.
Okay, Billy, you wash out. Thank you.
I'm a loser.
You have any comment on the No Child Left Behind mess?
No, but I do know what my favorite moment on the Peter B. Show is.
What?
Well, you know, it was one of those times when I had some ridiculous rave, and Ben came on after me, and I felt a little less crazy.
Take your meds, Billy.
Okay.
All right, now we go to Andrew on the line. Where are you calling from, Andrew?
Trinidad.
Trinidad, great. Here's your question. Who's more likely to draw a bigger crowd for a mud wrestling match? Condoleezza Rice versus Donald Rumsfeld? Poppy Bush versus Bush the Jr.? Ann Coulter versus Michael Moore? Karl Rove versus Judith Miller? Or Dick Cheney against Barbara Bush? This is a difficult question.
Oh, geez. They all sound pretty good. I'm going to have to go with the Ann Coulter and Michael Moore.
Okay, so, John, he chose Ann Coulter and Michael Moore. Is that your preferred answer?
I think that's a winner.
Okay, so now we have two winners, and, John, you have to choose between Andrew and Cynthia.
Oh, no.
Yep, you do.
I'll have to...
Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, yeah. Michael Moore's all oiled up, and so is Ann Coulter, and then they're mud wrestling?
Yeah.
So do I win?
I think that's going to be, that's the extra mile. That's
all right.
That should do it.
Andrew, you have been selected. Hold on here. Matt will get your address, and we'll mail you the book. Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, Cynthia, you came very close. Now, this kind of illustrates one of the jobs you had to do, because in grading these standardized tests, they told you to kind of ignore what you thought the right answer should be, and you had to score it based on how it had been scored in the past, because consistency was the only way that they could tell if the students in, say, Columbus, Ohio, had slipped or gained over the time interval involved.
Right, yeah. I mean, even if the test had been misscored 4 years prior or 3 years prior, those old tests were slipped in to test us, to keep us on the ball in terms of whether or not we're scoring consistently with how we'd scored the test in the past. So even if it had been misscored in the past, we had to figure out how it had been misscored and then misscore it again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what I learned was that really the whole our job wasn't really to score accurately. It was really to continue to procure future government contracts for the testing company, because that was the way that the government, that was the criteria that the government used to make sure that we were doing our job, supposedly, presumably.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of that goes on in government work. Now, how do you project the No Child Left Behind and standardized testing into a metaphor for the mess that the Bush administration has created?
Well, in... which mess in particular? You mean?
You get to pick. You have a minute.
General mess. Well, in my novel, I mean, one of the things is that, there are all these sorts of conspiracy theories that people have who work in the testing business, which were things that when I was working there that people would talk about, like what's the real agenda of the test, and so on. And the fun part of the novel is sort of taking that then to its literal extreme. And so one of the things one of the purposes for the test in the novel is that they're used as psychological profiles.
Mm-hmm. Let me stop you there, John, because we're just about out of time, and I want to congratulate you on a book. I'm enjoying it so far. I'm going to read the rest of it, and I'm really glad that you escaped from Burbank, Illinois.
Oh, well, thanks.
I got out of Chicago in 1976. Nice talking with you. John McNally, the book America's Report Card, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Congressman Sam Farr joins us next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly. Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Democratic Congressman Sam Farr is going to join us in just a moment.
While the world watched in horror, two hijacked planes destroyed our trade center. We better believe it. We better deal with it. It's time to keep your chance. Give me the chance.
Congressman Sam Farr, the Democrat from the Central Coast, has introduced a resolution in the House of Representatives, and it's simple. Resolved that the House of Representatives calls on all parties in the Middle East to observe a ceasefire and renew efforts to create a sustainable peace. Calls on the United States and the international community to assist in the reconstruction and rebuilding efforts in areas in the Middle East that are affected by violence, and urges all parties to recognize the right of the State of Israel to exist. Congressman Farr, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir, and thank you for sponsoring this legislation.
Well, thank you for thanking me. I'm here in Washington. We're just trying to get out of here. It's the last hours of the session before we break for a whole month of August to go for summer vacation, mm-hmm. and it's people are breaking with mixed motions.
Yeah. And this follows the unsuccessful summit, the multi-party meeting in Italy, in Rome the other day, where Condoleezza Rice was the holdout, and the United States government would not support calls for an immediate ceasefire, even when the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Signora, gave a very, I think, emotional and moving plea for the fate of his people. Over 750,000, mostly children, have been displaced already. The death count is upwards of 300, and Israel shows no signs of relenting in the aerial attack on Beirut and its ground incursion into the southern portions of Lebanon.
Well, that's why this resolution was passed, to try to get some congressional dialogue on it, but unfortunately, as I said, they're scheduled to leave town tonight. As we speak, it's 6:30, and we'll probably go to midnight tonight.
Mm-hmm. And is it on the agenda at all?
No. The Republicans control the agenda, and they're not putting anything new on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how important it is.
Right. And do you see that as just business as usual, or is this something at the behest of the White House? They clearly do not want the United States to advance a ceasefire call at this time.
Well, there's several bills that have been introduced on the subject matter. Dennis Kucinich, Sheila Jackson, you, Gary Ackerman, Clay Shaw, Republican from Southern Florida, all variations on the theme. But none of those resolutions are going to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, that's in sharp contrast to the resolution that passed last week, which, in my view, it was an attempt to restate the facts of the conflict that's underway. In order to prevent any problems for Israel under the Arms Export Control Act, tell us about that legislation and how you voted on it.
Well, I think almost all members of Congress voted for it. It was essentially condemning the attacks on Israel and supporting Israel. I think the wording, we had a big debate. Some people wanted to modify some of the wording, and it ended up, I mean, the resolution, I said, you remember, we've talked about this before in other programs about how the Republicans control everything here, including every word that is passed by Congress. There's no, they don't even allow the Democrats' amendments on these bills.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bill, but I remember that Nancy Pelosi took her name off of being the original co-sponsor of it because she thought the wording was a little strong, nonetheless supported it, and as most of us did.
Mm-hmm. Did you have misgivings, though? Because as I pointed out, it kind of tries to restate the facts, and it doesn't square with my impression, particularly of the bombing of Beirut. Tyre and some of the other border towns where Hezbollah clearly has rocket installations and clearly has militarized those areas. I can understand that. But these suburbs of Beirut and the population centers that have been bombed, I don't regard that as defensive. I don't regard that as consistent with the Arms Export Control Act.
Well, the way I felt about it all was stated in my statements to the journal, to the floor, which I submitted, and they're available. And a lot of people have asked me that question, and I think the best thing is just read the whole statement.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't get into a lot of the facts. It got in more of the interpretation of the whole resolution.
Mm-hmm. Could you sum it up for us?
Well, that I felt that the resolutions that members of Congress really were concerned about the deaths of all people, and that the urging more constraint on Israel and being able to target the insurgents, and it's pretty much summarized like in those general categories.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. Do you have concerns that this is going to spin out of control and will ultimately lead to a rather large conflict, particularly involving the U.S. and Iran?
I think that the way the White House has conducted itself in the Middle East ever since the invasion of Iraq has been a disaster. I don't think they've created a leadership role for America, which the world looks at, and I think had established a goodwill among the Arab nations, that we've squandered that will. And I don't know whether we're sort of our backs against the wall. The president this morning looked pretty, I think, tired, depressed, and frustrated. And frankly, it's been brought a lot upon by the way he's conducted his strategy in the White House. And unfortunately, it affects the entire nation and the world. And the resolution that I've introduced essentially is trying to just bring some space for peace, to create a dialogue, and focus on what I think is the role that America can play very effectively in the world, which is stabilization and reconstruction. We're good at that when we bring all the parties to play, and we've got the school on the Monterey Peninsula, the Naval Postgraduate School, that specializes in this. In fact, they're starting a summer workshop this Sunday with international communities, representatives, and our own military and international community, military, on how you do more effective stabilization and reconstruction, along with the NGOs. So, what I think I'm trying to say in this resolution and get my members of Congress to support me in this is that let's emphasize the positive, what America's good at, and begin building a respectable position by really helping these nations, not just waiting for them to have a big meltdown.
Mm-hmm. In your view, Congressman Farr, did Hezbollah start this?
Yeah. I mean, I think they started. I don't have anything in the briefings we've had to believe otherwise.
Mm-hmm. It's just hard to tell from here, and I'm skeptical because we have been spun so much. And there are accounts from French news agencies that the Israelis entered Lebanon and were then attacked by Hezbollah. And, of course, we have heard the accounts that Hezbollah went across the Israeli border and snatched those two soldiers. Do you consider that kidnapping if they took captive two Israeli soldiers who were on combat duty?
Well, I think the kidnapping has been an ongoing occurrence, and it has been successful in the past. They've gotten some prisoner exchanges from it. I'm just surprised of the escalation.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe the U.S. has made any effort to restrain Israel, particularly in the bombing of Beirut and other residential areas that are not clear Hezbollah centers?
Well, I think diplomatically we've certainly expressed our concerns, but I don't think we've taken any, certainly there's no sanctions or anything like that.
Do you get the sense that Rice's motive is to buy time, to let Israel finish the tasks it has undertaken?
Well, I think there's a lot of open dialogue on this on most of the television news channels. A great deal of coverage, and I would say open criticism of the United States' motives, and that has certainly been one of them.
Mm-hmm. And what is your current view on the authorization that President Bush has to launch additional military action in the Middle East? Is the current resolution and the one that we passed after 9/11, which basically was the Get Osama empowerment, does that, in your view, give him the right to decide at this point without consultation with Congress on, say, invading Syria, invading Iran, airstrikes on Iran?
Well, I don't know of any member of Congress that gives unicameral, given the executive department the authority to invade without consulting and then getting permission from Congress. And there's the executive department presidents have always exerted their own right to respond without consent of Congress, but we've held that pretty tightly, and I think, no, I don't think we would support that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, now, the mess that the administration has put in, I don't think even the Republican leadership in Congress would support the executive department on further actions without national involvement and debate.
I'd like to believe that, but particularly the Senate debate that I thought was jaundiced in the way it was constructed, the cut-and-run debate, the Republicans doubled down and basically said, stay the course, we don't want to modify our policies in Iraq.
Well, I think there's two messages going on here. One is to defend a Republican strategy to get reelected in November, and that's sort of trying to blame the Democrats for cut-and-run. As I see the actions that the administration is taking, all but the bringing of new troops on board, which Democrats are very critical of the president for not providing enough military support for the mission in the early period, we now think that we ought to reposition the troops, withdraw them. And I think that there's more Republicans coming our way than certainly any Democrats going towards the direction that the Republican leadership and the president is trying to convey to the American public, that it's very important that we just stay the course without any change. I mean, it's been a failed course.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to stay it?
But is it compounded by the deal announced by Bush and Maliki, I would call it Plan Q, to bring more American troops into Baghdad? That suggests that they're not ready to stand up.
Well, it certainly suggests that, and I think we've been very critical of that announcement. That's what day-old. You remember,
mm-hmm.
all we have is a bully pulpit here to talk, and
right.
we can't. I mean, again, the Democratic, this way, everybody's focused on the November elections. They're
mm-hmm.
changing the direction of the country by changing the leadership in Congress to move from a conservative leadership that doesn't question any of the moves of the president at all, doesn't provide the checks and balances, isn't providing the institutional responsibility of the legislative branch of government to a leadership that will.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, we're going to take a quick break and return in just a moment, so please hold on. Sam Farr is our guest, Democrat from the Central Coast. We'll go to the phones in the next segment. If you have a question for the congressman, get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
I'm tired of all these old TVs and computers trashing our garage. Can't we get rid of them once and for all?
I'd love to, honey, but it costs so much to get rid of them.
This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you can dispose of your electronic waste, TVs, monitors, old computers, and more, and it won't cost you a dime. Bring them to the Monterey Fairgrounds, and the garage will be yours again. The Electronic Waste Disposal event is happening this Friday through Sunday, July 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Monterey Fairgrounds in Monterey. Go to noewaste.com for more information. That's noewaste.com.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to.
We continue now with Democratic Congressman Sam Farr from the Central Coast here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Sam, do you have any comment about the Democrats who've gone to Connecticut to campaign for Senator Joe Lieberman? There are many of us who'd like the citizens, the voters of Connecticut, to decide who the next Democratic nominee is. And there are a lot of people who are dissatisfied with Lieberman's performance. And it's troubling to see progressives like Barbara Boxer go to campaign for Lieberman.
Well, I'm not surprised that the senators are going, and President Clinton, and frankly, the Democratic leadership is going to campaign for Lieberman. He's been a good member of the Senate. People disagree on his vote on the war, but certainly as a domestic issues and things that there's we don't tend to be one issue members of Congress. We've got a big array of all kinds of issues, and Lieberman's been a good soldier on the other issues. And I think, he's a seasoned member. He certainly ran for vice president. The Democratic Party nominated him for vice president of the United States. He's been a good party member. And I think the Connecticut delegation, that's a state that's in play for the House. We have three seats in Connecticut that the Democrats think they can win.
Yeah.
They think it would be a lot more difficult if Lieberman were not the Democratic nominee. So I'm not surprised people are going to campaign for him.
Well, it's just another case where I really feel that he did move too far to the right and voted too often with the Republicans. He's being described as a 95% Democrat. It depends what value you assign to the war in Iraq and the tax cuts and the bankruptcy bill and a number of other areas where Lieberman voted with the Republicans.
Well, I think that's true, and there are issues that can bring a person down. As a comment, I've seen that happen with lots of colleagues in both state legislature and in Congress. But I think it's you'll usually find that the colleagues of the incumbent will be very strong supporters of them because they see him on the entire picture, the entire array of things, and the voters of Connecticut are make that decision. I think what we, as the Democrats in Congress, are worried about is the implications they would have for the party figuring there's a split and allowing the kind of the left to side, without the mainstream, and our party then divides and conquers each other while the Republicans win. And that's
yeah, but I also think there is strength in embracing the anti-war position. You don't have to be far, far left to do that, especially based on the polls today. And I feel that this is a significant battle for the future of the Democratic Party. And I really want the voters to decide. I don't want this kind of heavy-handed interference from party leaders.
Well, we endorsed the Democrats from California, endorsed in the Pombo race, in the primary, a candidate we thought that was going to be a stronger candidate in the fall elections. And the Democrats McNerney, the candidate who won,
mm-hmm.
Had the populist support, the grassroots support, labor support, and so on. And so he beat the he beat the Washington machine, so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
I do think in the end, in return to your point, is that the voters do make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's not inappropriate for the sort of the team to rally behind a player and say, look, let's look at the whole game. And I think you'll find that generally what happens in this business.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do you need to go to vote, or can you take a couple of calls?
I can take a few more.
All right. We're joined by Ben and Salinas. Ben, go right ahead and make it a minute or so, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Farr, for being a voice of reason in what has to be a lion's pit we can't imagine. I think that Congress is being held hostage to the power brokers. However, I would like to ask you, sir, is there a reason that we or you as a representative cannot bring H.R. 219, the Social Security Protection Act, to the table for a vote and publicize the way each and every member votes? So we need to not let the Republicans frame the upcoming election. We need to take the aggressive initiative and let Democrats frame the issues for we the people, like Social Security and stem cell, and then also address the war profiteering going on, but put some teeth in the investigation. Now, I'm sorry if I've gone too far abreast.
No.
But, Mr. Farr, I respect you, and a lot of us are counting on you to keep us out of these concentration camps they're building for us, sir.
Well, first of all, I appreciate you calling the station and listening to it. I'm a strong supporter of this talk show, and Peter's doing a great job.
Thank you, sir.
Let me just say, you know, one thing that it's very. I've served in local government as a county supervisor and a state legislator, and kind of knew what went on in Washington, but not specifically. And the biggest surprise, and it's not taught to us in our civics classes and things like that, is that here every bill that you debate on has to have a separate rule. It doesn't happen when you debate on local issues or state issues. The Rules Committee is controlled, as all committees are controlled, by Republicans. So not only do they decide what issues are going to even be brought to the floor, total control, and the wording of that, even the hearings of who's going to testify. But the rules, which is the one place where the Democrats should get access to the debate, because the rules can allow for amendments or not allow for amendments. And you'll see right now, if you turn on C-SPAN, we're debating the rules on two big votes we're going to take tonight on the pension bill and a bunch of other bills, minimum wage, and tax extenders and other things that are going to be in the other package. And you will see the Democrats on the floor talking about these rules ought to be opposed and defeated because there's no opportunity for amendments to be heard, and that's wrong. So in answer to your question, the reason we can't bring that stuff up is because we don't control this place. And but we're going to make a change in November. The difference between the Republican majority and the Democratic minority is just a few seats. It's about 15 seats. And
right. Are you optimistic?
We can win those seats.
Are you optimistic, Congressman?
I'm optimistic. I think that I've been here, you know, a few years, and I've never seen the Democrats more organized, more unified, more ability to meet the Republicans tit for tat on fundraising and everything else. The spirit's high. This is in the hands of the voters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to the polls, it's moving in our direction.
Ben, thank you for your call. Congressman, just a minute or so remaining, a little less. Offshore drilling. Should we be concerned about this bill that passed the House yesterday?
Yes.
What do we do about it? It's about the Gulf and Florida, but it also includes Pombo's language that could eventually open up the California coast.
Yeah, well, the Monterey Bay Area, we're fortunate because when we created that, when Leon Panetta carried that bill in the language, it prohibited offshore drilling. So it had taken another act of Congress to lift that. The rest is just presidential moratorium, which runs out, and then this president could order drilling. Mm-hmm. The law would allow it to occur,
yeah,
according to procedure. So we have to be worried in California. I think it's a big concern because with gas prices as high as they are.
Yeah, a lot of pressure. Congressman, we're out of time. Thank you for your work. Soldier through the session and come on back to California.
Thank you very much.
Sam Farr, Democrat from Carmel, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Another diplomatic attempt to end the violence in Lebanon.
Tomorrow, Secretary Rice will return to the region.
And is relief in sight for Californians suffering from the heat wave?
We're going to have a couple cool days of 99 degrees.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Cammie McCormick. Still not calling for an immediate ceasefire, but willing to send in an international peacekeeping force. President Bush announced some new proposals today to stop the violence in Lebanon, Israel, and Gaza.
It's the start of a new diplomatic effort aimed at ending the Middle East fighting.
Tomorrow, Secretary Rice will return to the region.
President Bush and British Prime Minister Blair are pushing for a multinational buffer force in Lebanon and a UN resolution to stop the conflict.
Now's the time to be firm.
There's a sense of shock and frustration and anger at what is happening and grief at the loss of the innocent lives. But it is not a reason for walking away.
Both leaders continue to resist increasing international calls for an immediate ceasefire. They say a lasting peace is needed. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
A chartered cruise ship with more than 300 people on board pulled out of the port of Beirut today. It was the last scheduled evacuation of Americans. CBS News reporter Vicki Barker was watching.
As the Americans file through the ticket line here at Beirut Port, you can tell which ones came up from the south. The women are all wearing headscarves, and men, women, and children are grim-faced, white-faced, absolutely silent.
The repatriation center at Baltimore's airport for Americans evacuated from Lebanon has now shut down. Nearly 4,500 people made their way through the center. And what are the civilians left behind? One UN official wants a 72-hour truce in order to help them.
After more than 2 weeks of explosive exchanges between Israel and Hezbollah, the UN's humanitarian chief says thousands are cut off and supplies of food and medicine are dwindling.
Thousands and thousands of children in the war zone who are trapped, but they're also disabled, there are wounded, there are elderly who are not able to flee.
Jan Egeland says he hopes a three-day pause could be the start of a larger cessation of hostilities between the two sides. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
Now this.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, When GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The heat wave in parts of California is being called unprecedented. The death toll still climbing. As many as 139 deaths may be blamed on the high temperatures. Fresno County Supervisor Henry Perea says what relief they're getting may be brief.
We're going to have a couple cool days of 99 degrees, if that's cool. But if the weather predictions are as are being predicted, we're going to be a week away from another heat wave.
In suburban Cleveland, a storm dumped several inches of rain. Some people had to be rescued from their rooftops. Peter Donnelly works at the Radisson Hotel in Eastlake.
The water last night came in rivers into the lobby of the hotel, all hands on deck. We were mopping floors until 2 a.m.
Now they're cleaning up. Home Depot store manager Rusty Pierce says supplies are going fast.
They're buying sump pumps and shop vacs, obviously cleaning supplies like mops and brooms and squeegees.
The governor declared a state of emergency in Lake County. The Justice Department has been delayed again from looking over the evidence seized from Congressman William Jefferson's office in a bribery investigation. Judges ruled today Jefferson has to be given the copies first. The House is expected to vote soon on increasing the minimum wage. It would be the first increase in a decade, phased in over 3 years. The wage would go from $5.15 an hour to $7.25. A CBS News New York Times poll finds approval.
There's across-the-board support for raising the minimum wage. Americans would favor raising it from the current $5.15 an hour to $7.25. And it support crosses partisan lines.
CBS News Director of Surveys, Kathleen Frankovic. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The world changes. The economy changes. Your life changes. And as they do, there's something that doesn't change. The commitment we at UBS feel toward each client. A commitment to offer reviews of your portfolio, to assess your financial goals, and to provide solutions that help you manage all the changes. Wealth management from UBS. In a changing world, an unchanging promise we call you and us. Member SIPC.
We all love champions. We all love winners. And even the best of them can suffer from cold sores. Millions of people suffer from cold sores. And now millions of people use Relieve one-day cold sore symptom treatment. Why do they choose Relieve? Because Relieve is the only treatment that guarantees to relieve the symptoms of cold sores in just a day. So if you suffer from cold sores, get a winning treatment. Get Relieve. It's guaranteed. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. And you can buy Relieve from the shelves of all major drugstores and other fine stores.
It's called the morning after pill or Plan B.
And we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show on this beautiful Friday in California. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up shortly, we'll debrief Peter Laufer. He was on our show yesterday. And then he went up on Bill O'Reilly's Factor and survived. We'll talk about his experience coming up in our next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And a little bit later this hour, Dr. Anne Marie Kimball, who is an epidemiologist at the University of Washington, will talk to us about the bird flu, avian flu, and also about mad cow disease, which the United States Department of Agriculture has said is no longer a problem. That's coming up, and it's dedicated to Ben and Salinas. And next hour, we're going to take a fresh look at the contested election in Southern California, San Diego's District 50. Joining me now is Chris Tonsing. He is editor of the Middle East Report. They're on the web at merip.org, and he has been very generous with his time, joining us just about every day at this time to update us on developments in the Middle East. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay. As I hear, the heat is finally receding out there.
Yes, and we lost about 100 people in California to that heat wave over the last week, and it's really, you know, kind of shocking that it had that much impact.
Yeah.
But, yeah, things are easing, and, of course, it pales in comparison with the real heat of the conflict of battle in the Middle East. What are the headlines today in terms of Israel's conflicts both in Gaza and in Lebanon?
Well, the conflicts go on both fronts, although Israel has ended its two-day incursion into Gaza, which resulted in the deaths of 30 Palestinians. The big story today is Blair's confabulation with George W. Bush, from which they emerged and both insisted on the necessity of inserting a multinational force, an international stabilization force, into South Lebanon as soon as possible. Bush announced that there will be a resolution table at the UN Security Council as early as Monday to try to make that happen, and that in the meantime he is going to send Condoleezza Rice back to the Middle East, presumably to Beirut and Jerusalem, where she will try to figure out what the Lebanese government and the Israeli government want for conditionalities for this force.
But hasn't Israel already ruled out a UN peacekeeping force?
They've ruled out a peacekeeping force under the UN aegis, under UN command, right.
Yeah.
So it would have to be sort of a coalition of the willing that presumably would be under NATO command or under the command of some particular country.
Mm-hmm. And that, to me, suggests that, again, this is posturing, that Bush and Blair are, you know, working to buy more time for Israel, which we now hear is calling up 30,000 reserves. And the word, you know, I can't say that this is reliable because I've only heard it in the American media, is that Israel is expecting that this current conflict will go on for weeks. No specification of the number of weeks, but that doesn't seem like something that is going to be wrapped up, say, by next week.
Right. And there are two other reasons to think that this proposal going to the Security Council will not result in a force being assembled soon. The first reason is that Blair said at the news conference that any proposal would have to be acceptable to Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah is not going to accept any force with a mandate, a robust mandate, as they put it, which would involve its forcible disarmament. That's simply a non-starter. In addition, the Lebanese government is going to be extremely reluctant to accept that kind of force, because to insert that force into Lebanon with what seemed to be the tacit agreement of the Lebanese government would make Hezbollah think that the Lebanese government had conspired in that, in their forcible disarmament, and that could set off severe civil strife in Lebanon. So I'm not sure what can be offered to the Lebanese government to make them sign off on such a deal. And then you also mentioned the obstacles with Israel. And then the other set of obstacles is where these troops are going to come from. Because of the shell that hit the UN observer post a couple days ago, many countries are going to be afraid of sending their troops into what's essentially still a war zone. They're not going to want to send a peacemaking force, but rather a peacekeeping force after a peace has been made, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a long ways off, as you said.
Now, related to the attack on the UN outpost there, I got a couple of emails overnight, and it's interesting because the articles come from a conservative newspaper in Australia, and it is a column, not a reporter, and this columnist is saying that there were Hezbollah gunmen who were using the UN post, you know, as a beard or a blind, and that they were actually firing on Israeli forces from there. Have you heard that report from any reliable source?
I think where that comes from is an email that was sent by one of the Canadian observers who actually died in that shelling. And he had sent an email, I believe, to family members in Canada where he had said that Israeli shelling was landing quite close to the post, as close as 2 meters away, I believe. And then he said something about, it was a line, something to the effect of, this is not deliberate, but rather out of tactical necessity. And that's presumably a reference to perhaps Hezbollah fire coming from the vicinity of the UN post.
Mm-hmm.
Until there's an investigation of the incident, it's going to be hard to know what exactly that line meant.
And Israel has declined a joint investigation with the UN. They say they will conduct the investigation and let us know what happened.
Right, yes. So I'm not sure that anybody is going to be convinced of the results of that investigation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, backing away from that particular issue, the shelling of that UN position, in the bigger picture, even if an agreement were reached as early as this weekend, and even if all these ifs, you know, were resolved, that Lebanon agreed, Hezbollah agreed, Israel agreed to the insertion of a multinational force, it would take a long time to assemble that. It's not going to, you know, they're not just going to hop on JetBlue and be there overnight or, you know, even as soon as a week from now. It would take perhaps 6 to 8 weeks, wouldn't it, to identify, assemble, and deploy any kind of significant presence there?
I think that's right, and that's, again, not even accounting for the major issue in assembling the force, which is that a lot of these countries are going to want to have a ceasefire in place before they would agree. And so one would think, therefore, that the priority before assembling such a force would be to impose a ceasefire, to work toward having one as soon as possible. And that, of course, the U.S. has again today said that it's premature to work for a ceasefire. So it is hard to see a diplomatic solution to this fighting anytime soon. It does appear that that this war is going to go on.
Well, and it seems to me that both sides, both Hezbollah and Israel, have established benchmarks or stipulations before they would agree to a ceasefire that, you know, neither opponent would agree to. So Hezbollah says, you know, they want a prisoner exchange before they'll agree to stop launching missiles, and Israel wants essentially a unilateral ceasefire from Hezbollah before they would agree to even discuss it, right?
Yeah, and the stakes symbolically are even higher for both parties. At this stage, from Hezbollah's point of view, what they believe, at least, is that they are denting the image of invincibility that the Israeli military enjoys in the region, and they are essentially posing on the Arab and wider world stage as not only steadfast but also competent fighters against Israeli aggression and so on and so forth. So for them to back down at this stage would be to completely, from their point of view, squander all of those public relations benefits that they have gained, not to mention they would be compromising their goals domestically, which have to do with keeping their weapons.
Mm-hmm.
From the Israeli point of view, and this, I think, is a perspective shared to a great extent by the Bush administration, any kind of climb down before they can convincingly claim that a military victory has been achieved over Hezbollah would be tantamount to surrender. And it's very unlikely that either party is going to do,
mm-hmm.
Unilaterally climb down from this confrontation.
And finally, Chris Tonsing, Ayman al-Zawahiri, the number two al-Qaeda guy, Osama's best buddy, dropped a video yesterday and called on all good Muslims to join the jihad. Will this really produce the kind of reaction he hopes?
I'm not sure. Certainly, it's not surprising that he did so. He knows, as does bin Laden, that probably the single most emotional issue, the best mobilizing issue in the Arab and Muslim world, is the cause of Palestine and more widely the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Yeah.
So he is essentially piggybacking on what he views as Hezbollah's successes against Israel. It's interesting, there has been a lot of chatter on the various Salafi, hardline radical Sunni Islamist websites, the people who would look to Zawahiri for political guidance, in other words,
mm-hmm.
And who, of course, tend to be very, very virulently anti-Shiite, and to consider Shiites as actually worse in their eyes than Christians, Jews, and non-believers, because they view them as having strayed from the path of true Islam. And there is debate on those websites about whether the hardcore jihadi Sunnis should adopt or claim as their own Hezbollah's fight against Israel or not.
Yeah, Chris, we're up against the clock here. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your expertise, and we'll talk on Monday.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you very much. Chris Tonsing, Middle East Report on the web, MERIP.org. Peter Lawford joins us next to talk about his encounter over the satellite with Bill O'Reilly. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a 7-passenger minivan with 3 rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty 375-5100. 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. As you can imagine, the Gilroy Garlic Festival in effect, and much heavier than normal traffic expected in the vicinity of Christmas Hill Park and on 101 getting to and from the park through Gilroy. So just avoid essentially 101 if you don't want to be stuck in traffic through Gilroy with the Garlic Festival in place. 129 at 101 in San Benito County, bus ran into a road sign. No injuries have been reported. CHP is en route. Salinas, South 101 before Hartnell. It's a large piece of plywood in the left lane. Live Oak, Soquel Ave at 17th. It's a boat trailer and a car involved in an accident. Aches and pains keeping you up. Big news. New Advil PM is here. The multi-pain relieving power of Advil plus a gentle sleep aid. New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Glad you're listening. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Professor and Medical Doctor Anne Marie Kimball. She teaches epidemiology, that's a mouthful, at the University of Washington. And she's got a new book out called Risky Trade, Infectious Disease in the Era of Global Trade. We're going to talk with her about the risk of avian flu. And we're also going to talk about the remarkable developments by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They have proposed suspending all tests of the herd in America for BSE. Mad cow disease. And, gosh, that's going to keep me away from cheeseburgers for a long time to come. Returning to our program, fresh from his appearance yesterday, is my friend and colleague, the author, Peter Laufer. His books include Mission Rejected, which is out now in hardcover, about refuseniks in the current war in Iraq. And he also is the author of a book that's due out in paperback any day now called Wetback Nation. And he appeared with us yesterday, as we disclosed to you, as kind of a warm-up for his satellite encounter with Bill O'Reilly on The Factor on the Fox News Channel last night. And, Peter, I am so delighted that you survived, and I think you did really well.
Well, thank you, Peter. Then a lot of that credit has to go to you as Picador, because you certainly warmed me up and peppered me with just the right kind of questions to have me thinking in the appropriate sound bites.
Well, I'm happy to have done that, and I also did encourage you to go on the show, and I, you know, honestly was not surprised that you did as well as you did. It also appeared that he just didn't have the knives out for you. He wanted to slam the holistic approach to immigration policy, but you kind of turned that around with a friendly snub of saying that, well, San Francisco loves you, Bill.
Well, I just was reacting to, what was it, a few months ago when Bill suggested that we in San Francisco should no longer be eligible for any kind of federal assistance and influence in our civil defense. And he even went on to say that if Coit Tower were to be bombed, why should the rest of the country care anymore? If that caused quite a stir in my hometown, San Francisco, and I'm sure you remember it because it's your hometown, too.
Yeah, I sure did. And so tell us a little bit about, first of all, the setup. The producers told you this was going to be confrontational. So they were setting you up for that. And they also were desperate to have you arrive and leave in a Lincoln Town Car provided by the Fox News Channel.
Indeed, which was a little strange because my offices are just around the corner, as you well know, from the satellite booth where they transmit guests who are in San Francisco back to New York to fold them into the program. But, you know, I learned a little bit about the whole system later on, I think after you and I talked about that Lincoln Town Car ride. It maybe was not the seduction we thought it was. It's a matter of controlling the guests so that they know, especially on a live program, that they've got the guest and the guest is going to be in place.
Yeah.
Because after I told the producer it really wasn't necessary, he asked if I would show up at the studio 15 minutes early. And he allowed is how it just was that they got nervous when they weren't transporting the guest. And the guest didn't, as I said to you yesterday on the air, get 7 margaritas at Grumpy's.
So how long did you have to sit in the chair with the earpiece and listen to O'Reilly? Did you actually have a monitor where you could see him?
Yeah, I saw the show prior. I was there about 15 minutes watching the show, which is fascinating for me because I don't watch the show with any regularity. Sometimes it comes up when I'm in a hotel. And I was able to see a little something about the pacing and the delivery and what the show is all about. And as you mentioned, you gave me advice. You suggested that I do the show. And I asked you and a few other close friends and colleagues whose advice I think is valuable. And everybody, Peter, said, go do it in the spirit of there's no publicity, it's bad publicity. And I do have, as you mentioned, graciously, a couple of books out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, you know, what I feel is the potency of television and celebrity. And the people that I've talked to about this, you included, and myself included, when I sought advice internally from myself, we're seduced by it. And there is something magnetic that is very hard to resist when a personality that everybody in the country knows says, come on this box with me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I invite people on the show and most of them accept.
Yeah.
it's
magic.
Yeah. So at one point you held up your book and you had told me about this before I got home to watch it on tape delay. And unfortunately, they did crop the screen so that we could see the picture of the immigrant that you were pointing out, but they cropped out the title of the book and your name.
But you must acknowledge, or at least I do, that O'Reilly graciously mentioned the book at the front and at the end, and my
right.
name was up on an identifier in a lower third
the Chiron.
Of the show, a
yeah.
Chiron. And so I'd like to think, just in terms of marketing, the fact that I held the book up there reminded people that there's a book, and my name was there so they can find it.
And you did get to explain your thesis.
I did do that, too. But if you think that he's got 2.5 million people supposedly watching according to the ratings, if I get 1% of those interested in the book, I am scoring.
Yeah, well, we'll have to check you out on Amazon and see if you've moved up on the charts in the last 24 hours.
That's right.
Well, Peter, I'm delighted that you did it. Glad you survived. Thanks for telling us the story.
It's a pleasure, Peter. Thank you again for being the picador and for suggesting to me that I go ahead with one of the more bizarre things I've ever done in my career.
Peter Lawfer, the books are Mission Rejected and Wetback Nation. Help him out, and Bill O'Reilly will take credit. Thank you, Peter.
Coming up next,
we talk about bird flu and mad cow on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or a full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has 3 locations to serve you better wherever you live. All 3 locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. And coming up next hour, we continue our coverage of the contested election in California's Congressional District 50, San Diego. That's where Duke Cunningham used to have a seat where he conducted his bribery schemes. And on June 6th, when we had our primary election, there was a special election there. A host of problems that Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com has brought to our attention over the past few weeks. And there is a legal challenge underway. We're going to get an update next hour from Mimi Kennedy of Progressive Democrats of America and Emily Levy, who is also on the case in Southern California. Just the other day, we talked to attorney Paul Leto, who is he has been retained to represent the people who are demanding a hand count of the votes. And there are quite a few issues there we'll be discussing next hour. We're standing by now to hear from Dr. Anne-Marie Kimball, and she has a new book out that's about infectious disease. We're going to talk to her about the avian flu, the so-called bird flu, and also get her thoughts on the U.S. Department of Agriculture's decision to eliminate testing of the cattle herd in this country for mad cow disease, or BSE as it's known. So she's at an airport. We just tried her cell phone, so hopefully she'll join us in the next few minutes. And in the meantime, if you'd like to chat with me, let's open up the phone lines at 888-5-PETER-B. You can talk about any subject on your mind. That's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Yesterday on the program, Sam Gardner joined us. And he, of course, is a retired Air Force colonel with tremendous connections in the intelligence and military communities. He forwarded an email to us. If you recall yesterday, he said that he thought Turkey was about to launch an incursion into northern Iraq to try to discipline the Kurds. And if you know anything about the history of this, the Kurds are a nomadic group that has lived on the southern part of Turkey and the northern part of Iraq for, I don't know, decades. I honestly couldn't tell you exactly how long. But there's been significant tension between the government of Turkey and the Kurds. And this is one of the problems that Bush really ignored in leading us into this war in Iraq, because this tension is now surfacing. And we have this update that was filed late yesterday from Turkey. Some 200 Turkish soldiers, accompanied by village rangers, crossed the borders into Iraqi Kurdistan province and encroached for 2 kilometers before pulling back inside the Turkish side of the borders, according to a military source in Zako, and this report came in late yesterday. The intruding force penetrated the area of Hork near Kesta border village in Dahuk. And a deputy commander of the 1st Division of the Iraqi Kurdistan Democratic Party told an independent news service over the phone that about 200 Turkish soldiers and the rangers had come about 2 kilometers inside the border. And the word is that several hours later they withdrew. So this appears to be a toe in the water or some sort of a test effort on the part of Turkey. But it does back up what Sam Gardner told us yesterday. In addition, a separate email from Sam today, and he writes, Israel's call of 30,000 reservists tells me they understand there will have to be a major ground operation inside Lebanon. Calling the reserves seriously impacts the civilian economy, however, which means the invasion has to come soon. The IDF has not performed well, and that's the Israeli Defense Force. Intelligence has not been good. The leadership has fallen for the siren song of air power advocates. The ground forces fell into a trap at Bent Jebail. If you discount the on-purpose argument for hitting the UN post, you have to add it to the category of not well done. During the attack part of Gulf, two U.S. Army units had lawyers review artillery fire missions to confirm rules of collateral damage were not being violated. That's interesting. The longer Israel takes to achieve its military objective, the more serious the problem. We've seen Saudi Arabia go from relatively silent to critical. Yesterday, Egypt's Mubarak entered the category of critical, saying the the whole thing could have been contained in its early stages. Sam Gardner goes on, we've not heard much about the Arab street for a few years. That's changing. Hezbollah has the only force that has ever been able to stand up to the Israelis. It's a proud event for them. We're hearing about volunteers going to Lebanon from Malaysia. Volunteers were sent off yesterday from Iran. Medical teams have been sent to Lebanon from Egypt. Al-Qaeda said yesterday this is the central battle of their view of the war on terrorism. Tehran has not yet found its full policy voice. Lara Zhani, the secretary of the Supreme National Security Council, was in Damascus yesterday. He's an important quiet power center in Iran. Sam Gardner says, I expect we'll see something come from this visit. The former Iranian president, Rafsanjani, sounded an important new theme. Referring to the situation in Lebanon, he said the U.S. is seeking to control the Middle East. In a parallel horizontal escalation, President Bush said, Hezbollah attacked Israel. I know Hezbollah is connected to Iran. Now is the time for the world to confront this danger. You can see the parallel between this and the Gulf II argument. Terrorist attack on 9/11, there are terrorists in Iraq. So that is Sam Gardner's up-to-the-minute analysis, and this item came in just a couple of hours ago. So there is activity there, and there is some of it that is off the American news media's radar, and in particular, the activities of Turkey give me concern and suggest that this certainly could widen out in the very near future in ways that the Bush administration might not expect, might not be able to control. So that's what we know about that. I want to repeat, my lines are open, and you're welcome to call the program, because it looks like Dr. Kimball either had to get on that plane or just for whatever reason is not going to be available today. So join me for conversation now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. And I'm looking here. Oh, this is a good one. Paul Krugman has a powerful column in today's op-ed section of the New York Times. He's an economics professor at Princeton and a guy who's had a very clear, critical voice of the Bush administration really almost from day one. And he really nails it here. Let me read a couple of paragraphs to you. Amid everything else that's going wrong in the world, here's one more piece of depressing news. A few days ago, the Harris poll reported that 50% of Americans now believe that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction when we invaded. That is up from 36% in February of 2005. Huh? Americans are getting dumber? More Americans are believing what we know to be false? Meanwhile, Krugman writes, 64% still believe that Saddam had strong links with Al-Qaeda. He goes on, at one level, this shouldn't be all that surprising. The people now running America never accept inconvenient truths. Long after facts they don't like have been established, whether it's the absence of any wrongdoing by the Clintons in Whitewater or the absence of WMD in Iraq, the propaganda machine that supports the current administration is still at work seeking to flush those facts down the memory hole. But it's dismaying to realize that the machine remains so effective. Here's how the process works. First, if the facts fail to support the administration position on an issue, stem cells, global warming, tax cuts, income inequality, Iraq, officials refuse to acknowledge the facts. Sometimes the officials simply lie. He quotes Edward Lazier, the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers. The tax cuts have made the tax code more progressive and reduced income inequality. That's clearly a lie. More often, however, they bob and weave. Consider, Krugman says, for example, Condoleezza Rice's response to explain why the administration always links the Iraq war to 9/11. She admitted that Saddam, as far as we know, did not order September 11th, may not even have known about it. Notice how her statement, while literally true, nonetheless seems to imply both that it's still possible that Saddam ordered 9/11 and that he probably did know about it. But she went on, that's a very narrow definition of what caused September 11. Meanwhile, apparatchiks in the media spread disinformation. It's hard to imagine what the world looks like to the large number of Americans who get their news by watching Fox and listening to Rush. So thank you for Paul Krugman. I think that's a very powerful column today. And if you have a chance, I encourage you to read it. I want to thank Millie for calling. Millie from Aptos. She's on the line this afternoon. Hello, Millie. It's Peter B.
Oh, hello. You know, speaking of that poll, it's not just not believable. As I understand it, when that poll, it was identified as a Harris poll,
right,
which is considered reliable. But there's something wrong there. Something wrong with this picture. Even as dumb as a lot of the public is regarding politics, I just don't think they could be more so with all the publicity explaining what's happened.
Well, but a lot of Americans aren't paying attention, Millie. They're watching Desperate Housewives, and they're concerned about the Gilmore Girls.
But how could more of them believe the untrue than previously?
It is bizarre.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. No, I can't explain it either, but let's not get hung up on the specifics of it. If you look at the general picture, we have a lot of Americans who are prepared to accept bogus arguments, bogus facts, just a whole lot of bogusness, and it doesn't seem to faze them whatsoever. And I think some of them are beyond cynicism. They've simply written off government and politics. They say, you know, I can't do anything to affect it. It's all spinning out of control, and they're all liars. And then there are some people, you know, who just barely pay attention. And so they get their news from the little headlines that are inserted during, you know, soap operas and Wheel of Fortune.
That's true. I met a man yesterday. Had he been a young man, I could understand it, like 18, 20, or early 20s. But this guy was like 35. I call that a young man, Peter. And so he actually believed all of the stuff.
Really?
All of it. Yeah, I said, where have you been? And then he said, well,
yeah,
I hear on talk radio. And
So he's listening to Sean Hannity for his facts, huh?
Well, he means radio, and he's also listening to KSCO.
Uh-huh, to Rush.
Road.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and the shows that are on there, a lot of the callers that call in, I noticed before I stopped calling, that a lot of them still believe in this stuff.
Well, I have to tell you this, that Millie, I followed Rush Limbaugh on KNBR in San Francisco for almost 3 years, and it never ceased to amaze me how many of the ditto heads simply absorb what he had to say like a sponge, and then when you squeeze it, exactly what he said would come out. And so Rush would say something, and these bozos would call me up, and they would say exactly what Rush said. And then I'd say, I know that's what Rush thinks, but what do you think? And most of the time, they were speechless, because they really didn't have any original thinking or any ideas of their own. And it is sad that so much of our media is dominated by these blowhards and demagogues, and that so many people embrace what they say with barely a skeptical question.
They have no skills in critical thinking whatsoever. And to them, many of them, I think people like Rush are a security blanket to them.
Because he expresses the hateful things that they can't quite verbalize.
Yeah. Really, I want to mention, I have a question which I'll get to in a second.
Well then, Millie, why don't you let me take my break and you can come right back after and then we'll have a little more time to talk.
And you want me to stay on?
Yeah, will you?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll do that in just a minute. Millie's with us, and you can join us, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. She figured out the new toll-free number, so I'm confident you can do it, too. It's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. Heavy delays if you're going to be traveling to the Gilroy area. That's because the Gilroy Garlic Festival in full effect. So be aware of that. Also, South 101 on the northbound Highway 25 off-ramp south of Gilroy. It's a two-car crash. That would be working on the right shoulder. Monterey, northbound Highway 1 before Highway 68. Two-car crash has been reported. Prunedale, north 101 at Dumbarton. Accident, one of the cars is on the right shoulder. Another car went down the embankment. CHP is en route. Live Oak, Webster, and San Jose. Two-car crash involved there. Test drive the new 07 Audi Q7 SUV. Visit your Bay Area Audi dealer or BayAreaAudiDealers.com to see the Audi Q7, the newest luxury SUV in the industry. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah, with climate change, you're home by the sea, maybe in the sea very soon. We're taking your calls because our guest scheduled this half hour couldn't join us. Dr. Anne Marie Kimball was at an airport, and we thought it would work, but it didn't. So we'll try to reschedule our discussion about avian flu or bird flu and its contagiousness, as well as my issues about mad cow disease and the USDA's testing program. We'll see if we can reschedule that for next week sometime. We return now to Millie and Aptos, who had another thought for us. Go ahead, Millie.
Yeah, I've got a few here. My three children are all in science, two boys and a girl, all in their late 40s. That shows you how old I am. He's a biochemist, and he will, within a few months, commence working on the bird flu so-called vaccine.
Oh, good.
Somewhere in a plant near Sunnyvale.
And is that the GlaxoSmithKline version or another one?
Not even sure which one, but they are to develop. They're just going to start developing a vaccine.
Well, that's good news.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's something else. I was very disappointed with our congressman. I mean, ours, not yours. With his charitable attitude toward Lieberman.
I was a little surprised by that too, Millie.
Oh, that's too much, and it shows. I will remain cynical. The three biggies, the war, the tax cuts, and the bankruptcy bills, are so unforgivable.
Well, and Lieberman also wanted to try to compromise with the Republicans on Social Security reform at a time when the Democratic leadership was saying, no, we don't want to give them anything, and that strategy worked. That was the biggest victory for the Democrats in 2005, and Joe Lieberman wanted to screw with it.
Well, that just shows where he is. He is. I don't care if he has a 95% voting record.
I mentioned, there's some fuzzy math being used to arrive at that 95% figure.
Well, here's the last thing.
All right.
A few days back, you had a guest, either you mentioned it or the guest mentioned it, that the U.S. had offered Israel anti-missile weapons, and that Israel rejected these. Were these the old Patriot things, or did the U.S. offer, this is like a few years ago only, mm-hmm. not the Gulf War.
Right.
Did the U.S. offer a new system?
There is an upgrade of the Patriot missile system. I honestly, that discussion didn't happen on this show, and so I don't want to BS you. I honestly don't know what the current status is or if we did offer Israel any kind of anti-missile technology. I believe that the kind of missiles that Hezbollah is using are so quick and so low to the ground that it would be difficult for a Patriot, and the Patriot system was not that effective to begin with. Again, I don't know the specifics of that, but I'll look into it over the weekend and see if I can report back to you on Monday.
Did you say the Patriot system had been upgraded?
Yes, and I believe we are offering it to Japan as a way to try to build their defenses against the threat from North Korea. That's where I read about deployment of Patriots and an upgraded version of it.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot, then.
You bet, Millie. Thank you.
The caller's going to have a field day today. Okay, goodbye.
All right, thanks for your call. Now we go to Andy in Monterey. Thanks for your call, Andy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks.
Good. I don't usually do this, but I'm sitting here with my grandmother, and we're watching Oprah.
Uh-huh.
And they're talking about the minimum wage, and they're getting very, very in-depth in this entire situation here. You know, it's hitting a lot of people, and I think the Democrats really need, I mean, they need to grab hold of this minimum wage thing. If anything brings people out to do anything, it's money.
Mm-hmm.
And if their livelihoods are going to be upgraded to any extent or whatsoever, I think they need to, you know, grab that and use it as a point.
Well, they have been pushing it pretty hard, and I do think that whatever occurs, the debate is underway in Washington right now in the closing hours of this summer session, and I believe there will be an increase in the minimum wage, but since the Republicans control everything, as Sam Farr told us, I expect that it will be nominal.
Well, I think the Democrats should reject anything the Republicans right now, because I think that this is going to pull. This is huge. Like I said, nothing pulls people out to vote that are registered voters like money.
You're right.
And right now, I mean, I'm watching this. I never really watch Oprah ever, but this is powerful.
Uh-huh.
The program she has right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear she's taking that on instead of, you know, Martha Stewart-type topics.
Exactly.
All right, Andy. Thanks a lot for the call. You made a good point. Now to Steve and Salinas. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. When you had Congressman Farr on, a thought came into my head about when you asked him if Bush thought he had the power to just go into Iran without any further congressional approval, and
uh-huh.
he said, yeah, no, he doesn't have the power. He has to get approval from Congress. And I don't think he has to, because he does whatever he wants to. No, seriously, he does.
Well,
Republicans won't stand up to him. Look, Arlen Specter is always threatening to do something but never comes through, and the Democrats won't stand up to him.
Well,
so
he
can do whatever he wants.
That's exactly why I asked the question, is because I believe that Bush thinks he still has a blank check, or he believes he can ram through whatever he wants to do as if he had a blank check, and he essentially is daring anybody to impeach him or do anything to impede his very narrow set of policies and unilateral views.
And you know, Arlen Specter always talks like he's going to do something, but then he wimps out.
Well, it is true. Spector, we talked about him a little bit yesterday on the program. And on the one hand, I'm pleased to hear a Republican who, you know, understands that the signing statements and the NSA program are explicit violations of the checks and balances envisioned by the Constitution. But he seems willing to make the point and then back off and compromise with the White House, and that's what's really troubling.
Yeah, and that's why I think Bush will do whatever he wants to do, and if Bush wants to go into Iran, he's going to do it.
All right. Steve, I think you're probably right.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call today. And as we wrap up this hour, I just want to remind you that today is your last opportunity to enter our first anniversary case of wine giveaway. We've got this case of fine Central Coast wine. None of the wine is enclosed in a box. The bottles will come in one box. That's why we call it a case. And it's from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you'd like to enter, today's your last day. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. Give us your name, address, daytime phone, indicate you're at least 21. And tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show in the past year. One entry per person, please. And if you don't have email, there's still time to drop it in the post. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner next week on August 1st. Coming up next, we will bring you up to speed on the latest in California's Congressional District 50 near San Diego, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
From colic to tantrums to transitions, our children often express their discomfort by crying. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guest Tanya Crowder, author of the book When Your Baby Won't Stop Crying, to discuss the underlying causes of our children's tears. Call in Sunday with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
On Sunday, July 30th at 6:30 p.m., Palestinian Ambassador Afif Safiya will speak at the Monterey Institute of International Studies Irvine Auditorium, 499 Pierce Street. The Institute's Graduate School of International Policy Studies and its Conflict Resolution Club, the Peace Coalition for Monterey County, and Citizens for Middle East Peace, a local interfaith alliance, are sponsoring the free talk to be given by the ambassador from Palestine, followed by a benefit reception. For more information, please call 373-1715.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. There's a new push underway to win the fighting in the Middle East diplomatically. CBS News correspondent Peter Mayer was at the White House today as President Bush met with Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair.
President Bush and Prime Minister Blair want an international military buffer zone in southern Lebanon. They're resisting calls for an immediate ceasefire, saying a plan for a lasting peace must come first.
This is a moment of intense conflict in the Middle East. Yet our aim is to turn it into a moment of opportunity.
Blair says rage over the conflict should not block that opportunity.
It is not a reason for walking away.
Secretary of State Rice returns to the region tomorrow. Peter Mayer, CBS News, the White House.
With reaction to Rice's upcoming visit, here's correspondent Dan Revive.
Israeli officials say they're confident she's still their friend, but this time perhaps a friend who says, cool it. Too many civilians on both sides are being killed, wounded, displaced. What the Israelis are looking for is a permanent arrangement that will weaken Hezbollah and keep that group well away from the Israeli border.
Not much relief from the heat today in Fresno, California.
You'd think people in the heat would get grouchy, but, you know, everybody's just trying to get through it.
The death toll is still climbing in the state. 139 deaths are now being blamed on the heat. Roni Jaffa of the Governor's Office of Emergency Services said that they're still very concerned about the elderly in particular.
We have called every nursing home and every residential care facility in California to make sure that do they have an evacuation plan and do their staff members understand what to do in an emergency.
Stanislaus County usually reports one heat death a year. Today it reported 29. Police are on the scene of a shooting in Seattle at the Jewish Federation building there. One person is reportedly under arrest. Two to three people have been injured. This witness heard the gunshots.
I got out of my car and I heard some pops. Didn't really think anything of it. Kind of sounded like just maybe firecrackers or something like that. And, of course, made it went in the building and made my delivery, came out, and then you know, the cops literally swarm in that whole area down there that quick.
A SWAT team was searching the building for other possible victims or other shooters. Before leaving for the August recess, the House is expected to vote tonight on raising the minimum wage from $5.15 an hour to $7.25. CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports it hasn't been raised in a decade, and it could become a campaign issue.
They want to be able to go home, some Republicans, during this break, and say they voted for a minimum wage bill. There's a lot of pressure to do something for the workers. This minimum wage bill, though, as it is not expected to go anywhere, even if the House passes it. There are things attached to it that make it dead on arrival in the Senate, and right now nobody thinks the Senate will pass it, which means House members could go home and say we tried, but it doesn't mean it's going to be a law.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished the week on a positive note, up 119 points at 11,219, and the Nasdaq was higher by 39 points. This is CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Steve emails, Dear CompUSA, got any killer back-to-school deals?
Steve,
we've got hundreds of killer deals, including $300 off a Toshiba laptop with Intel Core Duo processor and Microsoft Media Center Edition. $300 off! That puts it under $700 after savings and rebate. Our lowest price ever. This and other great deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA's back-to-school sale. We got it? We get it. See store for details.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the right way to stop them is
with Barracuda Networks, spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Networks firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Networks customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
He's running for re-election now, but not apparently wanting the spotlight that a big case brought it. Chris Miller has more on how the Duke University rape case is affecting the campaign for district attorney.
Durham County DA Mike Nifong now acknowledges it wasn't such a good idea to do as many media interviews as he did when the case first broke.
My handling of that media coverage of this case has occasioned substantial criticism, some of which is undoubtedly justified.
Staring at the possibility of being voted out of office in November, Nifong says he misjudged how his comments would affect the case.
It did not occur to me that we would still be talking at this level about this case.
And he didn't think the allegations against three lacrosse players would draw so much attention. Chris Miller for CBS News, Charlotte.
That Japanese cargo ship that flipped on its side off Alaska last week has crossed into U.S. waters now. A Coast Guard cutter now tracking the crewless and drifting ship. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
CompUSA email bag.
Lisa emails, Dear CompUSA, I need a great camera, but I'm a student, so I also need a great deal. Okay, Lisa, how about $120 off a 5-megapixel Kodak EasyShare digital camera? That's right, $120 off. That puts it under $130 after savings and rebate, our lowest price ever. That and hundreds more back-to-school deals are good through Saturday at CompUSA. We got it, we get it. See store for details.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on into our third hour today, 6 minutes past the hour. We're going to talk again about the challenged election in District 50, San Diego, in Southern California.
People moving up, people moving in, why? Because of the color of the skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't hide.
Vote for me, and I'll set you free. And with a little help from Diebold, we can control the results. Just a couple of quick program notes. On Fridays at this time, we often have a conversation with Assemblyman John Laird, the Democrat who chairs California's Assembly Budget Committee. He's on vacation and scheduled to return next week. And his Bradness, Brad Friedman, our favorite blogger who runs bradblog.com, he is kind of on vacation. He occasionally pulls into a motel and gets on the grid and then cannot unplug. I heard from him in Colorado yesterday, and he's trying to make his way to St. Louis, Missouri, and then on to points in the Midwest. But Brad Blog continues to post, and he is assisted by some very able people. And one of them is Mimi Kennedy, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America, the PDA. And I want to thank you for joining us today, Mimi.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, this is an important set of issues, and I'm glad that you and the PDA have joined with Brad and Velvet Revolution U.S. and many other people, including conservative Republicans like Roger Hedgecock, to call attention to this disputed election in District 50 in Southern California. And it continues to evolve, and today I want to get an update from you and from Emily Levy, who's going to join us here in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
But Mimi, frame this discussion for us. Why is this contested situation in District 50 so important?
It's important because I think most people know about the machines being hackable that are run by computer software, whether they're opti-scanners that scan a paper ballot or whether they're touchscreen direct record electronics that just take our vote into the computer and record it. They can both be hacked. That was proven last winter. So the federal government and the state government in California issued emergency regulations with their faces very red, state red,
mm-hmm.
and saying, oh my gosh, geez, they're hackable. Okay, here's how you have to handle the machines. Otherwise, they're not qualified anymore to run an election.
Mm-hmm. And that was Bruce McPherson's decision, and the way he operated from November to March this year was so murky.
Awesome.
And he refused to participate in the advisory groups that he had impaneled. He often was a no-show at public events related to the issues about these electronic voting machines. And then over a weekend in March, he issued the recertification for Diebold without any input from me or Brad. I know that much.
Didn't listen to you. He didn't listen to his own computer advisors. He's in exactly the pickle and has put his county registrars in exactly the pickle that activists warned about. We said that these machines aren't safe. They're not safe. And for some reason, the federal and state governments that approved these machines thought that their certain security regulations would make them safe. Well, what those security regulations entail was being stored in a secure place once their memory cards, which are pocketable. They're a small size, like a memory card you can put in your computer to increase its memory. They're small.
Yeah, like a flash card.
Yeah, there you go. So you have to, it's in the computer, it's set for the election, and it's sealed with a seal, which, you know, you can kind of peel it off and then put it back on like a price sticker.
Right.
And it's supposed to have logged access. Like if you go in, I see a locked cage with maybe a video camera on it. And if you're going in, you say Mimi Kennedy is going in at 11:54 a.m. and coming out at 12:02. Well, he sent them home with the poll workers as he sent home other voting machines in the past, punch cards probably with poll workers, when of course it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And when activists said, oh my God, you didn't follow the security procedures from state and federal government, he went, well, I couldn't possibly do that and still set up all the machines at 6 a.m. at the polling place. So give me a break. I'm trying to run an election here. I couldn't follow those. So you see, we have machines that aren't suitable for the purpose to which for which they're intended. In California code, it says that the machines must be before you even go about certifying them. So one could put that blame in Bruce McPherson's office. But the fact is, the buck stops at the registrar. He didn't secure them. He didn't follow the emergency procedures. And he said, I can't. Well, we're looking at a November election with 80% of the country voting on hackable voting machines. And if every county registrar gets to say, I had to send them home with the poll worker who signed up to volunteer, then what we've got is no holds barred, a fraud. You went on vacation, you left every door in your house open. and you're surprised when you get back and the television's gone.
Yeah. And Mimi Kennedy, is this about the outcome of the election? Do you believe Francine Busby won, and do you believe that this election has been stolen? Or is this much more an issue of principle that you don't want to see these kind of problems repeated?
You know, I'd have to say it's both. The reason I think maybe she did win, I think there's been a sea change in this country, and it just hasn't shown up at the polls because of manipulation. But that's just an opinion and a belief that's faith-based. I can't really point to the evidence, as my opponents so gleefully say that I can't. However, it's the voters' intent that is compromised. So I say it's important not because I believe that a Democrat won. It's important because my friends and neighbors, my fellow citizens in California, voted down in San Diego, and we don't know what their intent was. So, yeah, number one is important. And number two, it's important to hold the registrar accountable to his violation of the law, because if we don't do that, then we've got the wild, wild west. We have no way to find out the voters' intent. We have no way to know how our friends and neighbors are voting, because we think we hear one thing at the supermarket or in church or synagogue, and then we think, oh, you know, things are changing. I didn't used to agree with that person, and now seems we can come to some consensus. And all of a sudden the polls show, no, everything's the same. Nothing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm angry about that, and so it's important. Yeah, I think she won. Can't prove it. Well, I would like to know. I'd like to know the voters' intent. I would like it proved that Bill Bray won. But so far it hasn't been proven. These hackable machines say that he won.
Mm-hmm.
We have to count the votes to know that he won.
I was looking at Brad Blog earlier today, and there's a quote from Elizabeth Edwards, the wife of the senator who was the vice presidential nominee of the Democrats in 2004. And she's gone public in a new book with his comments on the day after the election.
Mm.
And he wanted to continue to contest, and Kerry and Shrum and the team said no. And to me, this is a pattern that cannot continue. The Democrats seem to simply accept the published result the day after the election and move on. And here in District 50, Mimi, we had a narrow gap. The reported tally the day after the election was Bill Bray by 4,732 votes out of, what, about 60,000 cast? So that's a significant number. And at the time, there was a large number of uncounted ballots, and the election could not have been finalized or certified at that point. And the Democrats, for the most part, have simply walked away. Francine Busby herself has refused Brad's entreaties to go public and ask for an honest evaluation of this election.
You know, Peter, I didn't know it was 4,700. I had heard 7,000.
No, 7,000 was the final tally, but the day after the election, the gap was only 4,700.
And Bill Bray was called to Washington, and in an unofficial photo op theatrical ceremony, it was pure theater, he was installed in that House seat. And you're right, the Democrats walk away. Now, why do they walk away? I don't know, except for as a PDAer, I know that there is a struggle going on for the soul of the Democratic Party. Now, Francine Busby was not particularly, she had not aligned with PDA or anybody pushing the envelope in the Democratic Party. And what is missing me the most now is I've heard Democrats argue on progressive radio stations, well, the Democrat, Busby wasn't a good enough candidate. So she didn't get out her own base. They're doing a cover story for the Republicans. She won, I do believe, and she was fine. We'd love to see her in the House of Representatives. And more on Republican talking points later, but here was a cover story published in the L.A. Times as an op-ed piece on the front of the Sunday Current section, which is our op-ed section.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hamburger and Peter Walston. Tom Hamburger is a White House press correspondent for the L.A. Times, and Peter Walston is an investigative news reporter. Completely unsourced. In other words, there was no spokesperson named in this thing. Here's the story they floated, that 4 days before the election, Republican strategists in Washington met. They were worried. More Democratic absentee ballots had come into the San Diego Registrar's office than Republican. They dispatched activists pouring into San Diego County, and by Election Day, there were 10,000 more GOP ballots than Democrat. Now, if you don't get out the vote, And that meeting was in Washington 4 days before the election. They had to have a heck of a travel agent because they got an awful lot of people on airplanes to get to San Diego by, say, Saturday morning. And then you go knocking on doors and you get 3,000 people a day who have nothing better to do than answer their door, fill out their absentee ballot, and give it to you. And then you keep running it down to the registrar's office, or you get them on their cell phone and you get them to fill it out and mail it special on Saturday night. You know, I can't see it. So 10,000 ballots is what they said they produced in the last 3 days. And the margin was 7,000.
Right. I got to take a break. We'll continue in just a moment with Mimi Kennedy, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America. We're going to be joined by Emily Levy in just a moment. She's hot on the case there in District 50 in Southern California. And we'll take your phone calls, too, at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the news, KRXA 540.
The Monterey County Democrats invite all KRXA listeners to join them this Saturday from noon to 3 at the Democratic Reunion and Voter Registration Drive Kickoff Picnic. The drive and picnic will take place at Natividad Creek Park, 1395 Nogal Drive in Salinas. This is a unique opportunity to meet with your elected leaders, candidates, and special guests in a casual setting while enjoying free food and fun. RSVP to 1-866-679-3367 or browse to www.democrats.org.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Mike Serrari of the National Wealth Builders as he talks about the San Francisco Overseas Property Expo, August 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Hilton San Francisco. It's being presented by Live Well Magazine and the National Wealth Builders. If you've ever wanted to know about investing in beautiful locations like Europe, the Caribbean, the Bahamas, and Africa, this is the place to be. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard every Sunday morning at 10. For more information, call 408-892-3376.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Good afternoon. I'm Larry Olson with KRXA 540. Traffic is brought to you by...
you've got the Peter B. Collins Show blaring out of your speakers. And I got to be careful here. I got a Rolling Stone song for you called Sweet Neocon. There's some language issues that could get me in trouble with the FCC. Go ahead, Mick.
You call yourself a Christian. I think that you're a hypocrite.
Now, what rhymes with hypocrite?
You say you are a patriot.
Well, Bush knows. Just leave the microphone open and you'll hear it. As we mentioned, his Bradness, Brad Friedman's on the road, and we continue our coverage of the contested, disputed election in District 50 in Southern California. Duke Cunningham went to the slammer after admitting being bribed over $2.5 million they funneled in his direction. And in the seat to replace him just for the short rest of his term, Brian Bilbray was named the winner. And there are many issues there relating to the security of the machines. You've heard Brad talk about the sleepovers that occurred. And Mimi Kennedy is with us, chair of the Progressive Democrats of America. And you may also know her. She was Abby, Dharma's mom on Dharma and Greg. And I really applaud your activism. Mike Farrell was on our show the other day. And I really appreciate it when people with your kind of visibility put yourselves on the line and fight for political issues that you believe in. And Mimi, I thank you for the work that you've been doing.
Oh, you're welcome, Peter. You know, my father, who was a Republican lawyer, and his stepfather had been a Republican judge, but he was he walked the precinct in the day, and he would take me with him as a little girl. So I thought of it as pretty exciting stuff, like, you know, Halloween. Scary, yeah, but trick or treat. But, I didn't pay attention, and then the Vietnam War came along, and I was at Smith College with the president's daughter at that time, and I remember thinking, this is not right, and Republicans at that point became, as far as I was concerned, the war party. I haven't seen much to change my mind.
Are you still in touch with Tricia Nixon?
What?
Are you still in touch with Tricia Nixon?
It wasn't Tricia, it was Julie.
And
no,
Julie
I'm not
was there.
In touch. But ironically, uh-huh. Her husband, David Eisenhower, was a fraternity brother of my husband.
Oh, my.
So it gets very... But what divides the parties at this point, to me, is their willingness to use violence to settle the world's problems. And there is a lot of, there's global warming, there's nuclear weapons around, and I'm sick and tired of it, and Americans are losing their jobs, we don't have health care, and I think that we should not have had this last 6 years, and I cannot believe that my vote and my neighbors' votes and my fellow citizens' votes were shifted and suppressed, and I'm pretty angry about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for going public. Dave joins us from Humboldt this afternoon. Hello, Dave. You're on with Peter B. and Mimi Kennedy.
Hey, thank you for having me on. Peter, I don't know if you recall this specifically, but on June 6th, the day of the election you're discussing in San Diego, here in Humboldt County, the group that I work with, the Voter Confidence Committee, we held a press conference before the polls even closed, and we said that we do not accept the results of this election being conducted on secret and illegal vote counting machines. And what we did specifically was to challenge the media not to report what they can't prove. Mm. The voting is unverifiable, not just to the public, but to the media as well. And Peter, you have an incredible opportunity to help us make this point and to speak to the media community, if this makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm happy to carry that water.
You should know, too, we are carrying this forward from that date, June 6th. We kind of launched this new campaign tactic, and now we have on September 21st the first in what I think is going to turn out to be a series of community forums on media accountability. Mm. And all the local media decision makers, and you may know that the Humboldt media community is not like your major metro areas. We've
right.
got a lot of newspapers here all competing. And so, topics like this get into the paper all
mm-hmm.
the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so these players are all going to come together. We're going to have an opportunity for the people in the community to basically redefine what is required of the media to be considered credible.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you alert PDA about that. I'd love to be able to get that out to our list and make sure that we support that. That sounds fantastic.
You got it.
All right, Dave, and stay in touch with me. You got my email, peter@peterbcollins.com. So send me information, and we'll make sure people hear about it.
You got it.
All right, thanks for joining us. Emily Levy joins us now, and she's going to be with us for the remainder of this hour. She's an activist with California Election Protection Network and the California 50 Action Group. Emily, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
We talked the other day with Attorney Paul Leto, who has been retained by the group that's challenging the results of 50. And I was very impressed with the work he did in Washington State, investigating that very close gubernatorial election that ultimately went to Christine Gregoire. And he seems very well equipped to take this on. Emily, in the next half hour, I'd like you to update us on the legal efforts and the extent to which Michael Haas, the Registrar of Voters, is cooperating or not. And Mimi Kennedy, before you leave us, I just wanted to know if you feel that there has been any expansion of the groups and organizations supporting this challenge to the results in District 50.
Yes, I think there absolutely has. And people are educated what the issue is here. They can't help but support it because everyone knows there's a rule of law. And if people can pick and choose what laws they'll follow, particularly in running our elections, then Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, all of us and our voices are pretty much silenced.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what other groups have come in recently?
Well, the DNC, as you know, which is fairly conservative and doesn't like to push the envelope,
right.
They called for a hand count. And they're making election protection at this point much more central because they understand they cannot ask the voters for all their energy and all their money and all their support and then fail to protect their votes at the ballot box.
Mimi, thank you for joining us today. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Mimi Kennedy from PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. Emily Levy will stay with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the consumer new car review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Sedona, a seven-passenger minivan with three rows of seats. With a low price and generous warranties, Kia is getting more competitive with Japanese and American car makers. The Sedona has a 3.8-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic with average power and acceleration. It passed our grueling hill climb test with no problem. It's roomy inside, and the third seat folds flat for cargo, but wouldn't be comfortable for an all-day trip. My demo has AC and power locks, but it's not loaded with accessories or leather. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Sedona minivan gets 18 mpg in the city, 25 miles to the gallon on the highway, and stickers in California for about $24,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in reality radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. And we continue our conversation about the dispute over the results in District 50's special congressional election this past June 6th. Emily Levy is an activist with the California Election Protection Network and the California 50 Action Group, and she's been pretty active fighting nuclear power and many other issues over the years. Emily, thank you for being a great citizen and using your rights effectively, and thanks for joining us here today.
I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit. I understand today was a deadline day to file some documents with I'm not clear on whether it's with the registrar, Michael Haas, or with a court in San Diego. So bring us up to speed on what's happened over the last few days since Paul Leto came on as counsel, and what the strategy is and what's happened so far.
Well, what is happening is that we will be, there will be a press conference on Monday announcing the filing of an election contest. And so that is in court. It's not with Michael Haas at the ROV's office.
And so this contest is not the same as the request for a hand count that was made by Ms. Jacobson.
Exactly.
Okay, so these are separate tracks.
Yes.
And does the hand count issue remain unresolved?
Well, at this point, Barbara Gail Jacobson and the attorneys and others are trying to figure out what the next steps are in that, because it was handled in a really funky way, frankly. The first thing was that they are charging an exorbitant amount of money for the hand count. They estimate $150,000, which
right.
is much higher per vote than what's been charged in other counties. And they're really only allowed to charge their actual expenses. And she was told that she had to pay $6,000 for the first day of the count, even though the expenses for that day would have been much lower because there were some paperwork issues that needed to be worked out before the counting began, so they wouldn't have to actually be paying counters for that day.
And can I just re-describe what you just said?
Sure.
Michael Haas has created an economic barrier to an honest count of the votes.
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go. Well put. And that's only one of the barriers that he's created. We've also been submitting public records requests. Various people have submitted them, and they're not giving us a lot of the records that we've requested. We have a legal right to get them in electronic format so that we can put them into databases into spreadsheets and analyze them. And they haven't come forward with much of anything electronically yet. And then the things that they are giving to us, they're giving us in formats that seem to be specifically designed to make them hard to work with. So there's all kinds of obstruction going on.
Yeah. And has Michael Haas made any explicit statement that he opposes this hand count, that he doesn't want to do it and therefore he's going to make it as difficult as possible? Or does he just smile and, you know, basically create these barriers that we just described?
Well, I can't say whether he's made a specific statement about it. I believe he's basically standing by the machine counts and saying there's no problem and we don't. There's no reason to have a hand count, and which actually it doesn't really matter whether he thinks there's a reason or not, because there are legal provisions for hand counts for hand counts to be provided under the recount laws. And that's what Barbara Gail Jacobson had filed for and was prepared to pay for. So whether he thinks it's necessary or not is well, actually it is necessary because the law requires it. You might consider it necessary for that reason, although he seems kind of unimpressed by the law in a number of areas.
Right, and in his comments to Brad Friedman, he's made it clear that he thinks that Brad and other election protection activists are crazy and are somehow paranoid, and they are, you know, looking at these lapses in security in the darkest possible way. And he seems to say that that glass is not only half full, but it's overflowing with honest election workers who could never be corrupted.
And he told Brad on the telephone when Brad was talking with him about the voting machine sweepovers that for anyone to mess with the machines would require that they be willing to commit a felony, and he said and that would rule out most of our poll workers.
Well, and
most was an interesting word to have in that sentence.
but even that is, you know, that's not consistent with his duties and responsibilities as a registrar of voters.
Absolutely not.
It's not up to him to say, well, I can trust my people, therefore I don't have to inspect their work or check on the seals or, you know, do anything to ensure, you know, that level of trust, I'm sorry, is not what we expect from a government employee who's in charge of the most important fundamental process in our alleged democracy.
You're absolutely right. And that it's even admitted by the ROV's office. I don't remember if this was Haas himself or one of the other people in the office, that there are over 100 instances of the paperwork that's the chain of custody of the documentation for the seals on the voting machines not being in order for this
mm-hmm.
one election.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mess, frankly, all over the place. And fortunately, Brad really is the one who kind of sounded the alarm about it right after the election, and so some of us were able to hop on it and immediately start getting the word out. I want to point something out, which is that there have been these same sleepovers in a lot of places in California and around the country.
Sure.
And people have asked why we're focused on San Diego. And the reason is that was the only, that Busby Bilbray race, specifically the runoff that happened between Busby and Bilbray on June 6th,
right,
was the only federal election that happened in this election cycle anywhere in the country, I believe. And so it's the one that had the most reason for to be messed with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just to put the political frame on it, this was a must-win for the Republicans, and they committed over $5 million to try to hold on to this seat. They certainly advised Bilbray on how to use immigration as a wedge issue. They flew in over 100 staffers from Washington in the week before the election, as we heard Mimi Kennedy say, talking about the effort they did to maximize the absentee ballots that were submitted for the Republican candidate. So it's very clear this was not expected to be a cakewalk, and the Republicans threw everything they had at it. And to say that they wouldn't bend the rules or break the law or commit a felony, Michael Haas, under these circumstances is just frickin' naive.
It certainly flies in the face of reality, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we know way too much to say that. And, you know, basically we're calling them on it, and we're drawing a line in the sand, as Brad has said. And if we don't stop this now, we're going to see it everywhere in November, the same kind of thing where the law is just completely ignored by the Registrar of Voters. And so I would really encourage people who live in jurisdictions where there were voting machine sleepovers to start similar kinds of things happening there. Use the information that we've put together in this situation, the research that we've done, and the resources that we've developed to take on the Registrar of Voters in their own counties, because we really need to stop this everywhere.
Yeah. The other thing that it speaks to, Emily, is that we need a state standard for many of these election procedures and post-election procedures, because there are so many gray areas that, you know, just the one you pointed out is the cost of a hand count. 14 cents a vote in Orange County, the quote in San Diego, is upwards of a buck a vote. And when that is not standardized, when the process is not uniform, we end up with a situation like Florida in 2000, which created the opportunity for the Supreme Court of the United States to rule 5-4, that because there was no uniformity across the state, they could dispense with counting all the votes. And this is a situation that we can't allow to continue. And we know that HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, was a very cynical approach to sell these electronic voting machines, and not to really standardize or create uniform processes and regulations across different jurisdictions. And that's something I think is sorely needed, not only in California, but nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your command of this information is impressive. I really appreciate how much you stay on top of this issue. And in California, with the possibility of getting Deborah Bowen in November as Secretary of State, I think if she gets in, we'll see some really important reforms happen. But what voting machines are we using again to vote on the election in which she's running?
Yes, that's the right question. Let's take a call here. We have Chris in Salinas. Chris, thanks for joining us. It's Peter B. with Emily Levy.
Yes, I just want to ask, where is our Secretary of State on this issue? I've emailed him several times, or his office, and they won't even return an email. And I was just wondering if you know what statements, where he stands on this issue. This is a very important issue, and where's our Secretary of State?
Well, I'll turn to Emily, because I have heard zip, zilch, zed from Bruce McPherson on this.
He's been mighty quiet, and he did issue mitigations after the what's known as the Harry Hursty hack showed how hackable these optical scan machines were, the Diebold machines that were used, the exact machines that were used in San Diego. He did issue mitigations that were not followed by Michael Haas, the ROV in San Diego, during this election. As far as we know, nothing has been done about that. And McPherson's top computer expert, David Jefferson, has come out and said that these machines are really dangerous and hackable and shouldn't be used. And McPherson is not showing up in the way that his job calls upon him to do.
Yeah. Chris, any response, even an auto reply?
Well, I just want to say that it's not if Deborah Bowen gets in, she will get in. And I'm voting for her.
Well, I hope you're right, and I don't expect that the Republicans, you know, have a whole lot of traction this November. But Schwarzenegger could have some coattails, and it'll be interesting to see just how well Deborah Bowen is able to get her message out. She didn't have much money in the primary, and I was pleased to see that she defeated Senator Ortiz, who is a competent legislator but did not get this issue very clearly. And so, you know, we've got a lot of work to do, Chris. I certainly support Deborah Bowen, because we've had numerous conversations with her, and she does understand these issues, and I believe she's committed to election integrity, and will work to do that.
Okay, you take it easy.
All right, Chris, thank you very much.
All right.
Emily, we're going to take a break, and when we return, I want to turn to the issues that Attorney Paul Leto is trying out, and the announcement that will be made on Monday. So we'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment. There's still room for your phone call. If you have a question or comment, you can call me at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Put you right through toll-free to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540. The Gilroy Garlic Festival in full swing, running through Sunday. Expect much and heavier than normal traffic in the vicinity of Christmas Hill Park and also to the 101. Scotts Valley, Graham Hill Road at Lockwood, accident clearing now on the right shoulder. Santa Cruz checking in. Felton Empire Road at Empire Grade Road. It's a tree blocking half of the roadway there. The Highlander Hybrid with an EPA estimated 33 miles per gallon in the city, just one of nine Toyotas to get 30 miles per gallon or more. Check out Highlander Hybrid at your Toyota dealer today. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be. And you can drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. Always happy to hear from you. We continue our conversation with Emily Levy. She is an activist, part of the California Election Protection Network. We're talking about the disputed outcome in District 50 in Southern California, mostly related to the process, and we've been discussing those issues. We'll go to your calls here in just a moment, 888-5-PETER-B, if you'd like to join this chat. And Emily, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to give people contact information, and I understand that you do social change workshops and individual coaching in addition to working on behalf of the rest of us.
That's right. It's really important to me that all of those people who are listening and aren't listening to your show and are fed up with the way things are going right now but think, I don't know what I can do about it. What can one person do? Find a way to get active. Because really the question, what can one person do, is irrelevant because there are millions of us already doing things. So it's a matter of how can I join in? And that's maybe a less intimidating way to ask. So I try to help people figure out how it makes sense for them to join in.
And you want to give us a website or an email where people
can
find out more?
My website, I admit, is quite outdated because I've been working on emergency situations.
Oh, so is mine. Don't worry.
But I can be reached at Juice for Justice.
Okay, Juice for Justice at
baymoon.com.
And that's J-U-I-C-E, in case people...
And then the word for, F-O-R.
Yeah. Juice for Justice at baymoon.com. So we...
And the website for the CA50 Action Group is nosleepovers.com. www.thebirdflu.org.
Oh, that's cool. I haven't been there.
And on, and it's a new website. It's just been up for a week or two, and we're adding things as we're able. And one of the things you can do there is go to our store and order merchandise that says, "Where did your e-voting machine sleep last night?" Have a picture of a voting machine in pajamas resting on a couch.
Oh, that's cute.
And let's see, what else do we want to make sure to talk about here? Bradblog.com is the best place to go for to stay updated on this issue, and every few days at least there's something posted there about what's going on in San Diego.
Even as Brad tries to take a break, he continues to post.
Yes, and I've been blogging for him as well. And
yes,
as
you have.
A few other people.
So, Attorney Paul Leto flew in from Washington State and is on the scene there. We talked to him in San Diego the other day.
Great.
Tell us about the legal challenge that will be filed.
Well, what we'll be announcing on Monday is the filing of what's called an election contest, and my understanding is that that's under the federal law and could result in a judge ordering a hand count of the paper ballots and paper audit trails in the election.
And build a federal government instead of...
I'm not certain about that. I certainly hope that that's the answer, that it would either be... the cost would either be borne by the county or by the federal government, and not being an attorney, I'm not sure of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's... one of the strategies we're using, we're also trying to really get the word out within San Diego and around the country. There's been a lot of national attention to this. Brad's been on Lou Dobbs and on
Catherine Cryer
on Court TV, and there has been really a lot of national attention, and we need more. You know, there's always... these efforts are very expensive, and I would really love to see some contributions for the legal costs, which can be made at Velvet Revolution, of which Brad from Brad Blog is one of the founders.
Right, and it's important. Velvetrevolution.us.
Yes,
yeah.
That's right.
And I did it. It takes about 45 seconds to make a contribution, so I want to encourage our listeners who are in a position to do so to help the effort out. Back to your phone calls now. Eugene in Santa Cruz, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Not bad.
Seems to me the way that we change things in a democracy is by voting. So this issue has been on the table for about 4 or 5 years now. And, I mean, the only way we can change anything is to be able to vote. And if the voting machines are in question, how can we ever be sure that our votes are counted? I just don't see a way we can... I don't see how we can change it. And, I mean, if your party was the one... if you were a Republican... and your party was in office, really wouldn't, and everything that you wanted was getting passed, you really wouldn't want to do anything about it or be as concerned about it, say, as a Democrat would.
Okay, that explains the Republicans, but the Democrats don't seem to be too amped up about this.
I want to disagree with you, actually, a little bit there, because I know of a lot of Republicans who are really upset by this, because there are a lot of people of every political stripe who believe in integrity. That's not something, I mean, that's not something that Democrats have a corner on the market of, and I'm not even sure they're always in the market.
Yeah,
well, being upset about it and actually doing something about it in the face of the other Republicans that want to stay in power, I don't really see, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think I feel kind of helpless in the situation. I don't feel like there's anything I can do about it.
Don't accept that. You can go to Brad Blog. You can send emails. You can go to your precinct this November and be a poll watcher. There are a lot of different things you can do to preserve the integrity of elections. And, you know, the more people who tip off our leaders that you know and care about this, the more likely they are to do something about it. We've seen that with Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky of Chicago, who took the unusual step at the Take Back America conference in June of not only acknowledging the work of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and that the Ohio election was stolen, in her opinion, but apologizing to election integrity activists for not taking them seriously enough. So it's starting to gain some traction, Eugene, and I'd like to see you get on board.
How much traction is it going to gain between now and the time, maybe possibly one of the most important elections in American history is about to take place.
Mm-hmm.
You can help it gain more traction. And something that I want to say about that is that even when you take a small action, you may never know what the effects of it are. An example is there's a woman that runs, just she sends out emails with issues that she thinks are important to her to a small group of people, and sometimes they forwarded them to their friends. And one person who got one of her emails early on after the 2004 election was a man by the name of Richard Hayes Phillips, who is a statistician who decided on his own to take on doing a statistical analysis looking for irregularities in the Ohio election on a precinct-by-precinct basis. He undertook that. He started going on the radio. A friend of mine heard him on the radio, and all she did was call me and said, "Hey, Emily, I know you're wanting to get involved in what happened in the election. This guy sounds like he could need help." I became his project coordinator, and then there's a lot of things that have followed from that, and our work ended up being the basis of the Moss versus Bush challenge in the Ohio Supreme Court. So you can talk about that Richard has done a lot and that I've done a lot, but in that story, there are at least two people that we know of who did really small things. One was send an email to friends, and one was call a friend and tell them something they heard on the radio.
Yeah, Eugene, thanks for the call, and you could work for Deborah Bowen in Santa Cruz County. That's one idea for you. Thanks for listening. Now to Dan in San Pablo, California. Hi, Dan, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to say hello to Emily, and I also work in the California Election Protection Network, and I wanted to make some comment about another aspect of the sleepover danger. The DRE machines, in addition to the optical scan, there were two varieties. The DRE machines are particularly vulnerable since they can be accessed in such a way to pollute their bootloader. That's the most fundamental primitive level of the machine, and it can be contaminated in an undetectable way that will change that machine's behavior from then on out in future elections. And it can cause that machine to pollute any card that is inserted and removed from it in order to collect the ballots, and then that card is taken to central headquarters and it's plugged into the main tabulator, and it can transfer the miscreant program that way. So you can take just one machine of that nature and compromise it. No one will ever know, and it will start changing elections thereafter. And that is the particular danger that was the subject of the McPherson security study and the reason that absolute security control is essential in these elections. Otherwise, they are completely unverifiable.
Yeah. Dan, I thank you for that, and I wish we had more time. Feel free to drop me an email with some information, and maybe we'll invite you on the show to talk further.
I'd love to. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. And, Emily, we're almost out of time with you. I want to thank you again, and do stay in touch. If you could send us an email with the news release on Monday, we will stay on top of this, and this is something we care a lot about.
E-voting may be an unmitigated disaster, but we're making sure it isn't an unlitigated disaster.
Ooh, I like that.
Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for all your work on this topic.
You are welcome. Thank you, Emily. This is Peter B. I got to hit the road here. Trigger's ready. We're going to saddle up and head off into the sunset. I'll talk to you Monday.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
From colic to tantrums to transitions, our children often express their discomfort by crying. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guest Tanya Crowder, author of the book When Your Baby Won't Stop Crying, to discuss the underlying causes of our children's tears. Call in Sunday with your questions.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick. Another effort to secure a peace in the Middle East.
For the sake of long-term stability,
We've got to deal with this issue now.
But President Bush at a press conference today with Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair did not call for an immediate ceasefire. He did say Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is heading back to the region, and he wants an international force in southern Lebanon. So what about negotiations? Here's CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
The big questions now, who will speak with Hezbollah and who will speak for Hezbollah? And why would the group ever agree to lay its arms down now, especially if it's proving to be a much more formidable opposing force for Israel than initially expected?
One UN official is calling for a brief truce to help civilians in Lebanon.
UN humanitarian chief Jan Egeland says 72 hours would give them time to replenish supplies and evacuate the wounded, the children, and the elderly now trapped.
We in the UN, the Lebanese Red Cross, all of the NGOs, other colleagues, could be able to do quite a lot.
He says thousands of children, elderly, and disabled have been stranded, and supplies of food and medicine are dwindling. Lou Maliano, CBS News.
The House is working late tonight before heading out for the August recess. A minimum wage increase is on their agenda, as is pension legislation meant to give retirees greater financial security.
One of the big problems with pensions is apparently a lot of companies make their pension plans look as though they're fully funded and solvent when they're not. The rules Congress is looking at passing in this bill will make it harder for companies to use what Senator Grassley on the Finance Committee calls Mickey Mouse numbers and Mickey Mouse accounting to make it look like the pensions are safer than they are.
Correspondent Cheryl Atkinson, one person is dead, as many as seven injured in a shooting at Seattle's Jewish Federal Building. The area has been cleared. Police have one person in custody. The death toll from California's heat wave has been climbing all day. The latest, 141 deaths, now blamed on the high temperatures. A group that's suing the FDA over the availability of Plan B, the emergency contraceptive, says it will subpoena White House correspondents to see if its influence